And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17, the last two verses, 27 and 28. And the reading is this: He who restrains his word has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. May God bless the reading of his word as Pastor comes.
I think we got the wrong PowerPoint up there. We'll get it. Well, last week we had that, or not last week, 2 weeks ago, we had that particular slide up, and it was a beginning of a study in Proverbs. We want to be wise people, right? We want to be those who know how to apply to our lives what it is that God instructs us so that we live good lives. Very few of us would say, no, I want to waste my life. I want to be foolish. I want to do the things that are dumb and stupid. Very few people are like that. In fact, I would venture to say hardly anyone is like that. But there are a whole lot of different ways of living that sometimes, well, are less wise than others. It is our goal to be wise in what we do. And there's no better book in the whole of the Bible for learning how to live wise lives than Proverbs. Of course, we aren't going to read and study everything that Proverbs teaches. You should do that on your own. If we were to read everything in Proverbs, it would take us probably a good hour and a half just to read the book. We're not going to do that. But what we will do here is take a look at a few of the main topics that Proverbs tends to emphasize. So what does Proverbs emphasize? Well, in the study of Proverbs, as we go through it, we will look at wisdom as applied to our relationships with others. Wisdom as it applies to justice, right and wrong in this world. Wisdom about hard work. That's always a fun one. And the relationship between wisdom and success. Proverbs really emphasizes all of these things. Today, however, we're going to look at what might just be the single topic that Proverbs speaks about the most, which is the use of our words. Even the most cursory reading of Proverbs demonstrates clearly just how focused it can be on what we say. There we go. This week, in preparation for the sermon, I quickly surveyed the entire book, and I wrote down 55 verses that struck me about our use of words. 55 verses. That's just what I wrote down. That's not everything that Proverbs has to say about speaking. In case you were wondering, the entire book contains 915 verses. I added them up. So that comes to about 30 verses per chapter in average. So if all the verses about speaking, just the uses of our words, were gathered into one spot in this book, it would take up two entire chapters of Proverbs. So yeah, God cares about how we speak. So in some way, the line between wisdom and foolishness is balanced on that small yet powerful human tongue. After my survey of what Proverbs has to say about wise speech, I discovered there were several broad categories on how it talks about our words. A lot of people break this down several different ways. God emphasizes these lessons again and again and again, pounding them into our brains by the force of sheer repetition. And I want to bring these categories to you, what I observed in it, so that you might know the wisdom that God has for us about our words. They come to several wisdom lessons, and wisdom lesson number one is this: our words have power, great power, to either help others or to hurt them deeply. Proverbs describes wise words as being a source of life. Wise words are a good thing and a source of everything that is pleasant in this world. Being able to hear wisdom spoken is described as being akin to eating a rich banquet. It is both pleasant and life-giving. On the other hand, wicked and foolish, unwise words wound and hurt, and they bring with them the stench of death. Consider these examples. Chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Chapter 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Chapter 15, verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Chapter 18, verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You get the lesson here, right? What does Proverbs call us to with verses like this? Well, there's both encouragement and there's warning. The encouragement is words can be used to heal and to help others. They have power to create unity among people. They have power to bring peace and love and hope and grace in our world. So use them well. But the warning is that our words are never meaningless. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is this true? Of course not, not according to Proverbs. God takes what we say very seriously, and he says what we say is powerful. Many Proverbs seem to emphasize the destructive capability of our words, really focusing in on that, calling us to avoid the evils of wicked speech. And so in 11 verse 9, it says, "With his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous escape." 11:11 says, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. 12:6, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In this, again, there's encouragement and a warning. The warning is that our words can cause destruction. Through our words, we can divide and we can tribalize. We can cause hostility and hatred and factions and envy and all the things that God hates among people in this world. Our words are described as literally having the ability to kill other people. The encouragement is that our words also have the power to rescue, to unite, to heal. So use them well. In these Proverbs, we see this great power that the spoken word has in all of life, power for good or power for evil. Chapter 25, 15 says, through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. That's power. Yeah, this little thing in our mouths that doesn't seem to have much strength to it at all. It can ruin this world, or it can make it better. We are called to use it well. This small part of the body. Any child can use this tongue. It's capable of shaping lives or shattering them. It can cause someone to feel loved or to feel worthless. The tongue may build or to tear down. And this leads us to lesson two, which really instructs us that the wise person uses his words to build. The fool is known by a trail of ruin and wounds behind him. This is wisdom lesson two. The wise person is to use words to unite, not to divide. Is that up there? We'll figure it out. Use words to unite, not divide. Several Proverbs focus on this use of words in arguments. This makes sense to nearly everyone. After all, how can arguments even start without words, right? How can they continue without the foolish and destructive use of words? God wants us to learn this lesson. Our words have the power to begin or to end an argument. We are called to be those. The wise man is called to be those who uses words in ways that seek after unity, that cause reconciliation. Of course, we have to acknowledge a very real point here. We have to understand that the person who is wise never abandons truth. We don't ever have to abandon a good principle for the sake of a surface level and false unity. But the wise person also knows that relationship is one of the principles that is worth fighting for. To put it another way, it is wise and godly to seek peace and reconciliation. It is foolish and sinful to destroy or ridicule another person simply to win an argument. Pay attention to the lessons of these proverbs. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. 17:9, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. We've known these things, right? We've lived them out. We've seen them. We all need lessons from these proverbs. Who of us here, has anyone here ever, let me put it in a different way, has anyone here not done these things, right? Have we ever not turned a simple disagreement into bitterness and resentment because of foolish words? We are all guilty of it, aren't we? We have all used foolish words to make a matter worse. Who can say that all of our use of our words, all of our use of social media has contributed to peace rather than anger? The wise person is a voice of calm reason. She will lower the temperature of a heated discussion. The fool gets angry himself, and then he makes everything worse. Wisdom lesson number 3, wise speech is valuable. And this makes sense, right? We've already seen many good reasons why wise speech is valuable. God wants to persuade us to treasure wisdom and to seek to be those who speak well, not in a foolish way. And so he tells us just how valuable a wise word is. Chapter 10, verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. 12:14, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. 13:14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Chapter 18, verse 20, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled, and with the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. Chapter 28, verse 23, listen to this one. He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. Chapter 20, verse 15 says, gold there is and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. And 25, 11, and 12, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Do you catch all of that? Are you listening to God's word here? We spend so much time chasing after money and all it can buy, and that's just the way it is. And there's, honestly, that's not abnormal. We do need to eat, after all. We do need to take care of other people. We should provide for the needs of our families. But what we often get wrong is the relative value that we place on such things. God says that wise words are to be valued far above gold and costly jewels. He even says that we should value wise words when they hurt. A wise rebuke is to be treasured more than gifts of money. I wonder, could any of us here say we would rather be wisely rebuked than receive a check for $5,000? Well, that's what God says we should be. We should be those who would rather receive wisdom from somebody, even in the form of a rebuke, rather than get money. In God's sight, there is great value in spoken wisdom. We should desire to hear it and to be those who speak it. Wisdom lesson number 4, foolish speech is sin. If wise speech is valuable, foolish speech is harmful. It doesn't work well, but even beyond that, it is blatantly sinful in and of itself. 10:18 says, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." It is the evil speech that reveals a hatred in our hearts. 10:32, "The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." 12:13, "An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble." 14:3, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them." 18:6-7, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." If we will not cultivate wisdom in our speech, hear this, if we will not be those who cultivate wisdom in our speech and seek after wisdom in our speech, we will inevitably tend toward foolishness. This is just the normal way that we are as human beings. If we are not seeking after the ways of God, we will inevitably tend towards the ways of sin. Foolish speech is not neutral. It is not harmless. God wants us to speak honorably from a path of wisdom, and settling for less is to reject God's ways in favor of our own, and that is the very essence of sin. Wisdom lesson number 5, the wise speak only what is true. Consider these proverbs. 12:19, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." 12:22, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." 19:22, "What a man desires is unfailing love." And catch this one, "Better to be poor than a liar." Chapter 26, verse 28, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." My friends, we are in a world that is awash with lies and sin and deceit. A while ago, a book was published that had the title "Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them." I like the title. Never read the book. I think that title would be a great title for a book that deals with the history of the world, wouldn't it? Or at least as a discussion of human nature. Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. Lies have become so pervasively acceptable in everything in our culture, everywhere, from politics to sports to business. Lies have become expected, a way of doing life. And the result is that today, very, very few people trust anyone. And even fewer seem to know how to discover what is true. It's so easy to be deceived. Too many people abandon facts they don't like in favor of fanciful stories that make them feel good. And the promotion of such lies has real-world consequences. We see it in our world all around us all the time. We should actually expect it, shouldn't we? I mean, shouldn't we expect to find lies at work in our world? By nature, we do not serve the God of truth, but rather the father of lies. Without Christ and his redeeming work in our lives, we serve the father of lies. So humans, when we speak, we lie. We speak our native language in our lies. Don't believe me? Then you've never been the parent of a toddler. No one needs to teach our children how to lie. They learn it all on their own. It's quite naturally to them, and lying is foolish. But wisdom promotes only what is true. Wisdom is slow to speak, careful to avoid being misled, careful to avoid speaking in a way that might then mislead. Wisdom does not lie. It does not excuse the lie as being necessary. It does not use any good intention to justify the lie. It abhors the lie. Wise lips speak only what is true, according to the Word of God. And this goes for things that we would post on Facebook, too. Wisdom lesson number 6, last one. it is often wise to be silent. Proverbs is full of advice for telling us that it is often best not to speak at all. We've all heard it, right? Thumper used to say it in Bambi, if you're old enough for that one. If you can't say nothing nice, what? Don't say nothing at all. And that's biblical. In the first week, we talked about Proverbs. We touched on the fact that wisdom and humility go hand in hand. It's been my observation that often those most eager to speak are those who lack humility. On the other hand, the wiser someone is, the more humility they show. And the more humility that someone has, the easier it is to stay silent. The more eager they seem to be to listen rather than speak. So God gives us this advice in Proverbs. The wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. What we read in today's passage, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. The American version of that I've heard more recently is, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? Better be silent and thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's the way it goes. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. I like that one. I see that one all the time. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. One more. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The applications of this wisdom lesson are easy, right? No, they are hard. I mean, we can understand the lessons, but they are hard to implement because it's so hard to hold our tongue. But wisdom is often more known by silence than by clever words. It's easy and usually satisfying to respond with a scathing remark or type up a witty reply on Facebook or wherever it is, but that's rarely wise. Wisdom leads to quietness and confidence. Wisdom understands that those clamoring for the microphone are those that we probably should not be listening to. Wise speech is valuable, used powerfully to unite rather than divide, to promote what is true rather than what is sin. And above all, wisdom listens when it speaks. Yeah, more than it speaks, I should say. I want to finish today with something important Jesus said. We'll take it to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Wise speaking, when it comes down to it, ultimately the best definition of wise speaking is not a technique. In God's eyes, speaking in a wise way is not about methods or tips or rules to follow. It's not about saying one thing and not another. Not really, not at heart. Wise speaking flows from a heart and a life of wisdom. It's not only about speaking truth, but it's all about also living a life of truth. It's not just keeping from saying naughty words. Wise speaking should never say naughty words, but it's more than that. It's about living a life that is honorable. It's not simply listening more than you talk, but it's about the humility that's required that to accept the truth that we rarely have the most important contribution to say in a conversation. The humility that's willing to learn more than wanting to teach. So if we're going to pursue wise speech, then we have to look deeper than the words that come out of our mouths. Wisdom is more than words. Attitude matters. Love matters. The condition of our heart is vital. So we have to deal with the heart first. And that's where the gospel comes in. Because who has the power to change the human heart? For us, Jesus was born. For us, he died. For us, he rose again. And to us, he sends his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, his job is to work in us, to transform us so that we are born again, new creations. Some wisdom is possible apart from that gospel in this world. We are all, after all, made in the image of God. But if we are to be truly wise to our core, then we begin with the fear of the Lord. To put that another way, we must begin with the gospel. And this puts us on a road of discipleship, which is a road of wisdom. It's a road in which we learn humility. We have to learn humility if we pay attention to the gospel. Because we did not make ourselves. We did not save ourselves. We do not even continually now sanctify ourselves or take care of ourselves ultimately. We are not wise in ourselves. So what room is there for my pride? We rely upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit utterly. So the discipleship road leads us to measure our words because we know their power and because we know what our place is. The discipleship road takes us to a place where we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The discipleship road helps us to value what Jesus values, and so we value only the truth, and we are careful to give no place to falsehood. We should rein in our tongues, keeping them from speaking foolish, vulgar, filthy language. As Jesus also said, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. We don't often take those words seriously. But should we not take seriously what Jesus takes seriously? Read Proverbs. Marvel. As you read it, just how much God cares about the words we say. And then, tremble at how careless we often are with our words. And then let us fall before him as Isaiah fell. Woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. If we will take seriously our position before God, if we desire to be known as people of wise speech, we must deal not only with the things that we say, the individual words, but also with our hearts. So, the challenge, the moving forward from here, the big thing that we do is to offer our hearts to God because only the Holy Spirit can change us within. He will apply the gospel, and then we can work to be men and women of wise speaking. Words are small. They are easy to let loose, just like bullets. And like bullets, they can wound, destroy, hurt, divide, but they could also heal, unite, help, build. Let's be people who are wise, using our words well. Remember they have power. Remember that wise words unite. Remember that wise words are valuable, something to be sought after. Remember that foolish talk is sinful. Remember that wise talk is truthful and cannot be anything other than truthful. But also remember that wise talking is often, more often than not, silent and willing to listen. Let's pray.